East. That generation and the problems that accompanied the revolt confront us today too, it seems. Emphasis supplied. Chapter to the Diaspora and Eretz Israel. Eilthou, the Jews of Judea, who survived the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 1970 and the Bar Kokhba revolt in AD 135, were widely dispersed by the Romans. The main Jewish diaspora which has existed throughout the centuries was not the result of these events. Today the word diaspora is sometimes used among Jews as a convenient means of distinguishing between the Jews living in Israel and those living in other parts of the world. However, to use the word diaspora as it is also frequently used, to create the idea that it represents the scattered remnants of the Jewish people exiled from their homeland in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, is, historically, without foundation. As we have seen, a majority of the Jews who had been taken away into Babylonian captivity preferred not to return to Israel when Cyrus the Persian liberated the Jews in Babylon, and encouraged them to return to Palestine. This majority, who made the decision to stay in Babylon, rather than return to Israel, became a prosperous and powerful community and a center of Jewish culture and learning for many centuries. Others, as has been mentioned, migrated to Egypt, where eventually their number exceeded 1 million. Before AD 1970, when the Second Temple was in its highest glory, the vast majority of Jews, by choice, did not, and never had, lived in Eretz Israel. They were not exiles in any sense of the word. Centuries before the fall of Jerusalem, their ancestors had emigrated from Israel voluntarily, and had colonized the major centers of population around the Mediterranean and beyond. These Jewish communities were highly successful and prosperous. Paul Johnson, in his History of the Jews, states, at the time of the Claudian census in AD 1948, some 6,944,000 Jews were within the confines of the Roman Empire, plus what Josephus calls the myriads and myriads in Babylonia, and elsewhere beyond it. One calculation is that during the Herodian period there were about 8 million Jews in the world, of whom 2,350,000 to 2,500,000 lived in Palestine, the Jews thus constituting about 10% of the Roman Empire. This expanding nation and teeming diaspora were the sources of Jerusalem's wealth and influence. The diaspora, through which Paul and others traveled, was vast. The Roman geographer Strabo said that the Jews were a power throughout the inhabited world. There were 1 million of them in Egypt alone. In Alexandria, perhaps the world's greatest city after Rome itself, they formed a majority in 2 out of 5 quarters. They were numerous in Cyrene and Berenice, in Pergamum, Miletus, Sardis, in Phrygia, Pamia, Cyprus, Antioch, Damascus and Ephesus, and on both shores of the Black Sea. They had been in Rome for 200 years and now formed a substantial colony there, and from Rome they had spread all over urban Italy, and then into Gaul and Spain, and across the sea into northwest Africa. Emphasis supplied. The ubiquity of Jewish communities in the ancient world has caused speculation by Nathanor Sobel in his Book of Jewish Knowledge that some Jews may not have left Egypt with Moses and the Exodus. He quotes Philo, the Hellenistic Jewish philosopher, as writing, "So populous are the Jews that no one country can hold them, and therefore they settle in very many of the most prosperous countries in Europe and Asia, both on the islands and on the mainland." It should be pointed out that during the period of the Hasmonean dynasty, which lasted almost 200 years, the Kingdom of Judah was a sovereign and independent state to which any Jew could have migrated or returned, if he wished to do so. As noted in the previous chapter, the reason that the Hasmonean dynasty ended was because the Jews invited the Romans to take over control of Judea to establish order in the kingdom, which was torn by the diaspora Jews living throughout the Roman Empire. In most cases, were not persecuted by the Romans. They were in fact a privileged people, as mentioned earlier. The Roman authorities were so sensitive to Jewish religious feelings that the Roman legions could not carry their eagle-headed standards into Jerusalem. The Jews of the ancient world, who comprised 10% of the population of the entire Roman Empire, were not living in ghettos, which were unknown until the year 1570, or as this is even more true in modern times. The Jews have always been an enterprising and resourceful people who, in most cases, have moved to various places in the world in search of opportunity rather than refuge. Certainly, there have been tragic times when Jewish communities have been driven into exile, but this by no means accounts for or explains the distribution of the Jewish population in the world today. It is estimated that the distribution of the Jewish population of the world in the year 1980 was approximately as follows. Out of a total world population of 13 to 5 million Jews, about 3.5 million lived in Israel. By far, the largest Jewish community is in the United States, 5,750,000, and this, combined with important Jewish communities in Canada, 310,000, Argentina, 250,000, Brazil, 130,000, and Mexico, 40,000, and a dozen smaller groups, means that nearly half of world Jewry, 6.6 million, is now the next largest Jewish community, after the US and Israel, is Soviet Russia's, with about 1,750,000. There are still sizable communities in Hungary and Romania, 30,000, and a total of 130,000 in Marxist Eastern Europe. In Western Europe there are a little over 1,250,000 Jews, the principal communities being in France, 670,000, Britain, 360,000, West Germany, 42,000, Belgium, 41,000, Italy, 35,000, the Netherlands, 28,000, and Switzerland, 21,000. In Africa, outside the South African Republic, 105,000, there are now few Jews, except in the diminished communities of Morocco, 17,000, and Ethiopia, perhaps 5,000. In Asia there are still about 35,000 Jews in Persia and 21,000 in Turkey. The Australian and New Zealand communities together add a further 75,000. It is obvious that the vast majority of the Jews of the world don't consider themselves in exile and have no intention of returning to live in there. Since the coming of modern Zionism, which is discussed in the next chapter, certain Zionist leaders, particularly Zev Jabotinsky, who founded the Zionist Revisionist Party, have made as their principal objectives the conquest of all of Palestine and the expulsion or subjugation of the Arab population in order to make room for a new Aliyah and gathering of the in recent years. This has been the sacred doctrine of the Gush Emunim, Bloc of the Faithful, a religious party of the extreme right and a major. The Gush Emunim is the primary ideological force behind the Likud government's policies on the West Bank and Gaza. The present and continued expansion of Israeli settlements on occupied Palestinian lands is the most volatile, emotional, and intractable issue involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is why the Intifada began, and why the Israeli settlers have retaliated with vigilante raids against Arab, yet the policy itself is based upon the fiction of an Aliyah from the diaspora, which is expected to populate the West Bank and Gaza after the, in referring to the Zionist revisionist movement, started by Jabotinsky. On these grounds he founded the Union of Zionist Revisionists to use the full resources of Jewish capitalism to bring to Palestine the largest number of Jews within the shortest period of time. He attracted an enormous following in Eastern Europe, especially in Poland, where the revisionist militant youth wing, better of which the young Menachem Begin became the organizer, wore uniforms, drilled, and learned to shoot. The object was to achieve the Jewish state in one sudden, irresistible act of will. In fact, all three Jewish leaders, Zionist, overestimated the actual willingness of Jews to emigrate to Palestine during the 1920s. After the turmoil of the immediate post-war years, especially the pogroms in Poland and the Ukraine, the Jews, like everyone else, shared in the prosperity of the decade. The urge to take ships to Haifa abated. During the 1920s, the Jewish population of Palestine did, indeed, double, to 160,000. But the total number of immigrants was only 100,000, of which 25% did not stay. So the net rate of immigration was a mere 8,000 a year. Indeed, in 1927, the peak year of 20s prosperity, only 2,713 came, and more than 5,000 left. In 1929, the watershed year in the world economy, arrivals to Eretz Israel, and departures just about therein lay a great missed opportunity, and the makings of tragedy. During the calm years, when Palestine was relatively open, the Jews in a full-page article appearing in the Jerusalem